Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Callin' NFL Roundup for Week 6. I'm Alex Barth. Alex Lebowitz with us and from Sports on the Go 1 in New York. Jake Asman joins us as well. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. It's good to be here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Jake, I'm sure for you, you wish you were here on better terms, but we're going to go through all the NFL games, the action from Week 6 for you. We missed last week with the baseball playoffs. We're back here. Just want to let everybody know next week this show will probably be in the morning since the Patriots play an 8:30 game. But before we get started, the theme of the NFL season this year seems to be what the hell is going on. Another week of that. Opening thoughts, we'll start with Jake.
Yeah, I mean, what you basically just saw and for another week of the NFL, and I think I tweeted this right before we started the show, You don't know what to expect, and I'm done trying to figure it out. I mean, we'll start with Pittsburgh for a second here. They go out there, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. And last week, they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. Then you have the Atlanta Falcons. They lose back-to-back games to the Bills and the Dolphins in their own building. I mean, you could just name a team and just, you know, you kind of scratch your head. The Jets being 3-2 entering today, you know, was amazing to all of us here in New York. So, you know, the Giants being what they are at 0-5. I mean, you go on and on with the NFL, and every single week there's something else that happens, and – makes you scratch your head and you go, how could this be? But here we are.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It seems like it's just completely unpredictable this year. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of mediocre teams, really. There's really no standout team. The Patriots were supposed to be that team, but we've all seen their defense, and that's just not the case this season. But going every game today, the Falcons blowing that 17-point lead in the second half, shocker. The Raiders losing on that field goal, then the game, the Chargers beating them. Derek Carr seems like he's still probably hurt. And I think the biggest news of the day is Aaron Rodgers potentially being out with the season with a broken collarbone in his throwing arm. You add that with Jameis Winston getting banged up. There's a lot of action going on this week in the NFL that kind of makes you reconsider your preseason thoughts. I thought the Patriots would run away with it this year. That's not the case. No one's running away with it. And it seems like each week, every game is up for grabs.
All right, so we will start with the first game, as always, the Patriots and the Jets. Now, Lebowitz and I will break down tomorrow on the show what was a pretty crazy game, but it's not just any week we have Jake on. So I know you probably have some thoughts here, Asman. We'll put you on the clock. Take your time. Feel free to get angry and go.
You know, I was wondering how I was going to approach this and doing my show tomorrow. My approach, what else really needs to be said other than the Patriots are a better team than the Jets. You know, they won the game 24-17. I don't think that's surprising. But the real storyline of this game is, unfortunately, about that missed call. And you can call it however you want to call it, or the NFL could spin it however they want to spin it. But if it looks like a touchdown, it's a touchdown. And, you know, Austin Seferian Jenkins was absolutely robbed of what was just an obvious touchdown. And you could say, oh, well, maybe he was starting to lose the ball. But, I mean, that is such a pivotal point in that game. If they call it the touchdown and it stands as if they called it on the field, it's 24-21 with 8 minutes left, and who knows what happens. And you know what? The Jets probably still would have lost because I'm a Jet fan, and that's how I think. But at least it's a game. It's a conversation. So, you know, you could talk about the game. You could talk about, you know, what the Jets were able to do on offense or what they were not able to do to stop the Patriots in that second half. But at the end of the day, it's unfortunate. But the storyline involving that football game is going to be all about that missed touchdown that somehow was called a touchdown on the field, and I have no idea how they overturned it. And, you know, to make matters worse, you have, you know, the two leaders in NFL officiating on Fox, Mike Pereira and Dean Blandino, saying afterwards that should not have been overturned. So I don't know what the NFL saw in New York to overturn it. I don't know. It's mind-boggling to sit here and think that that wasn't called a touchdown. The game aside, you know, you could get into that and break it down however you want, but that's the main storyline from that game.
So let me ask you this, Jake, before we move on. Also, the final: Patriots 24, Jets 17. Patriots are 4-2. Jets are 3-3. Jake, a lot of Jets fans complaining about this call. They're not happy. But when this loss ends up being the difference between the Jets having maybe a top five pick or a 9th or 10th pick, isn't this kind of a blessing in disguise for Jets fans?
Well, if it ends up being the difference, then sure. But, you know, when you're in the moment, you know, this team is 3-2. They started 0-2. They had been playing really good for 3 weeks. And you could say, oh, look who they beat. But you know what? They beat the Dolphins, and the Dolphins just went out there and beat the Atlanta Falcons. Say, oh, they beat the Jaguars. Well, look what happened to the Jaguars. You know, today, look what they've been able to do, bouncing back last week, beating the Steelers. So, you know what? Yes, long term, is this loss maybe better for them if the season goes how we think it was supposed to go? Sure. But, you know, as we talked about at the top of the segment, the NFL hasn't gone how any of us imagined it was going to go this year. So I have no idea what this loss means long term. But it's just frustrating because the Jets went out there and played really well, I thought. You know, considering they're overmatched from a talent standpoint, they have a 38-year-old journeyman quarterback. You know, the fact that they went out there and they battled with the defending champs at home, you know, that's a great sign of a young team continuing to get better each week. So it's unfortunate they got screwed the way they did, but there are a lot of positives to take away if you're a fan of the Jets, which I am. So, I mean, if you want to talk positives long term, then, you know, I see your point, Alex. But, you know, in the moment, it's frustrating when, you know, you have a lot of fans that pay a lot of money to watch the Jets every Sunday at MetLife Stadium. And to see that call happen in that spot, you know, I can understand why Jet fans want to riot after that. It's very frustrating.
All right, well, no positives at all today for the Atlanta Falcons in their new stadium. They're now 1-2, including blowing a 17-point lead to the Miami Dolphins. All 20 points coming in the second half. Dolphins move to 3-2. Falcons fall to 3-2, 1-2 at home. Ledwitz, we'll go to you first. Is this the beginning of the Super Bowl hangover? Systemic problem for the Falcons. They just can't hold on to these leads.
Yeah, I think it proves that Matt Ryan, although he has elite ability, he's not really an elite quarterback per se. He's not a guy that you want to kind of go to battle with, and that was shown today. You got to give credit to the Dolphins defense, but that's a Jay Cutler led team that just beat you after you had a 17-point lead. There's something
keyword
with teams
Jay
that
Cutler led.
Yes, exactly.
Smoking Jay Cutler, baby.
But positives from that game, Jay Ajayi, he's amazing. I think another takeaway from today is just there is a surplus of young talent at the running back position in the NFL this year between guys like Todd Gurley, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard for the Bears today had an unbelievable game. Zeke, you can go on and on, but that's the one positive from today. And Devontae Freeman on the other side, there's a lot of great talent at the running back position. And because of that, for the Dolphins, they got to win today and they seem to be having a surprisingly okay season, I guess.
Asman, all four teams in the AFC East are 500 or better. Is this division better than people give them credit for?
I think so. And I mean, listen, a lot of people were down on the Jets, as you know, you should be. But watching from afar, I actually thought the Jets could win 5 or 6 games this year. I even tweeted it before the year. This is not just a, you know, oh, look what they've done and to take credit for something. The Jets have a decent amount of talent on defense. I think the Bills have been a lot better than any of us could have imagined. But, you know, they had that typical Buffalo Bills like loss last week to the Bengals. So, you know, I don't really know how good the rest of the NFL really is. I don't know how good the Atlanta Falcons are that they've now lost 2 straight games to, you know, the Bills and the Dolphins at home. But, you know, maybe the AFC East is a little bit better than people imagine, because you have the Patriots. The Jets are better than we all thought. And you look at the Miami Dolphins and what they've been able to do at this point, 3-2. And, you know, maybe the division's a lot better than people gave it credit for. And I think that's a good thing for the NFL when you don't know what to expect season after season.
And next week, we have Sunday Night Football, the rematch, the Patriots and the Falcons. As a Patriots fan, I'm feeling good. Falcons are coming in downtrodden. You blow another big lead, and that team looks like they're on some shaky ground. All right, this game may have produced the biggest storyline of Week 6, the Packers and the Vikings. Vikings take this one at home, 23-10. Both teams are now 4-2. But the story, Anthony Barr bringing down Aaron Rodgers early in the game. Rodgers falls on his shoulder, broken collarbone. He may be out for the season. We're waiting to hear, but it's going to be some time. Guys, each of you will start with Ledwitz. Give me a name that the Packers should bring in as their new starting quarterback.
Oh, geez, putting me on the spot. I don't know. I know a lot of people are probably going to want me to say Colin Kaepernick. That may be
it actually makes sense,
a good pick,
though, right?
It does. He's a guy who can move on his feet. He's to Aaron Rodgers, very talented as a rocket. And obviously, no one's Aaron Rodgers. That's probably honestly the best guy to bring in who would fit their system, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know if they're going to want to do that in Green Bay. I don't know if they're going to want a guy like that on their team for various reasons that, you know, execs have said in the past. But systematically, that's the one guy who does make sense. The reality, though, is I don't think they're going to win with anyone else at the helm other than Aaron Rodgers. Their season's over after this. One of the few legitimate Super Bowl contenders is no more in the NFL after today.
We got a comment on YouTube from Rob who says RG3. I actually touched on that in a call of my own that's coming out tomorrow morning. I'm just going to say no on that. Jake, you had a very interesting tweet. I don't know if you were being serious or not about this, but boy, would this be something. I don't know if that's your go-to guy or not. It is. You're nodding. All right, hit us with it.
Tony Romo. And yes, you could sit back and say, oh, well, why did you leave the broadcast booth? Well, Jay Cutler did the exact same thing. And hear me out. I don't think it's that ridiculous. I don't think Tony Romo would come out of retirement for, you know, a bad team. I don't think he'd come out for any particular team, maybe outside of the Dallas Cowboys. But think about this for a second. Tony Romo's from Wisconsin. He grew up a Packers fan. And obviously, if he joins the Green Bay Packers, he instantly makes them, you know, a legitimate contender once again. Will it happen? Probably not. I think he enjoys broadcasting. He's very good at it from, you know, all the reviews he gets from people, all the positive reviews. But I don't think it's that ridiculous to suggest Romo. I definitely think if you're the Packers, you at least call him and find out, because you just never know when you're talking about someone like Tony Romo, who played in the NFL not a couple years ago. He played in the league last year. You know, he was on an NFL roster all of last season. Is he still in game shape? I have no idea. Does he still want to play? I have no idea. But it's at least a conversation I think you should have if you're the Packers.
And a name like Tony Romo with a team like the Green Bay Packers is just amazing to begin with. And just think, if Dallas can somewhat turn things around, we know how it went down in the playoff game last year. Think about Tony Romo in green and gold in a playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Wouldn't it be epic?
That would be as must watch as the NFL has been in years. I'm going to throw
and
out.
He actually wins.
And he actually wins, right. I'm going to throw out a name. This may be equally as ridiculous to Jake's, but I don't know if it'll happen, but this is kind of my thought. Jimmy Garoppolo. Just think about it here. The Patriots need to do something with him. His contract's up at the end of the year. They're not going to keep him and Brady. The Patriots have some glaring needs in positions where the Packers have a bit of a surplus. If Green Bay could put an offer on the table to Belichick that he thinks will give him a better shot at winning a Super Bowl this year, it's hard for him to say no to that. And then you're under the one-year deal, and you're done with him at the end of the year, and Rodgers steps back in. I just think, I don't know, if I'm Green Bay, one of the first calls I'm making, maybe after Tony Romo, is to the New England Patriots in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do they want Josh McCown? Because the Jets would be willing to trade him away, and then the tank will be back on.
Look, after the way he played today, sell high, baby, I guess, on Josh McCown.
What, he's a laugher.
360?
Listen, Josh McCown is fantastic at just looking like he's a lot better than he actually is.
Listen, that's the Patriots defense, Jake.
My grandmother could throw 360 on the Patriots.
That is true. But McCown is a guy that just came off winning three starts in a row, fellas. So I'm a big McCown guy.
Hey, it gives Christian Sackenberg a chance. All right, on to the next game, the Saints and the Lions. The third win in a row for the New Orleans Saints over Detroit, 52-38. Saints putting up big numbers, a lot of offense in that one. Both these teams, though, kind of feel like they're on the outside looking in. Not much here that piques my interest.
Well, I bet the over, so I was very pleased. So
there you go. Leibowitz?
Yeah, I mean, this is just another case of two teams that are kind of middle of the pack. Matt Stafford, you know, he's not a top five quarterback. He's not a guy that's going to bring you to the promised land, so to speak. And this is just, it's just a crappy game. They came back. They almost came back to tie the game. They were within a touchdown, got that pick six. And then what do you know? They do the exact same thing and give up that pick six. Just two mediocre football teams going at it. And I think that's the story of week six.
Redskins and 49ers. Washington takes this one 26-24. Washington is now 3-2. San Francisco now 0-6. We won't bring 0-16 in the conversation yet, but 0-8 a possibility for San Fran?
They're honestly the most exciting 0-6 team you'll ever see. They've lost every game by like 1 point this season. They're going to win a couple eventually. Like they've got to. They're due to be like a 3 or 4 win team, in my opinion. And I think this is a team that could end up being decent eventually. They got some young talent. Obviously, this isn't the year. But they've been playing some decent teams tough, and you can't ignore that.
Jake.
They've been better, I think, than people imagine as far as if you just look at the scores and the close games they've been in. But it is crazy, some of the ways that they have lost today. But what does this game really say about the Redskins? That they're at home and they couldn't blow out the San Francisco 49ers, that this game had to be this close? That's one of those games where if you're a fan of that team, let's say, if you're a Redskins fan, you know, the only result where you could walk out of there and be really happy is if you blew them out. The fact that it's close, yes, you always take the win in the NFL, but – you know, it just shows you what we've been saying at the top of this segment here. You know, you can't predict the NFL. So the fact that, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, you know, flew cross country and made it that close with what we thought one of the better teams in the NFC, I think is a testament to just you don't know what's going on with the NFL week to week.
Somebody on YouTube stole my comment here on this game. I like CJ Beathard, whatever it is, I was a Bethard.
Bethard or something.
I was a fan of his at Iowa. In my mind, he's one of the more NFL-ready quarterbacks to come out of the last couple of years. Not in terms of talent, but the system Iowa runs. He's able to easily slide into an NFL offense, an NFL concept. I like seeing him on the field. I'm interested to see what he's going to do in the next couple of weeks. He's a guy, I think, he's not going to win you Super Bowls, but while you're trying to find the next guy, perfectly good bridge quarterback, he has both the ability and the beard to be a Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of guy. We'll get to Fitz in a minute, but first, another rookie quarterback. It took overtime. The Bears on the road pick up the win against the Ravens, 27-24. Chicago's now 2-4. Baltimore's now 3-3. Guys, we've seen a couple of games here of Mitch Trubisky. What do you think so far? Obviously, the bar has been set high with Deshaun Watson. Does Trubisky have a chance to get there?
Maybe. I don't know. You can't really tell two games in, and they're not relying on Trubisky, the Bears, that is, as much as the Texans are relying on Deshaun Watson. So you got to see him, you know, get challenged more than he is right now. That said, I like the way they're using him. I like the way they're easing him in and relying on the run game early on. You got a guy that you're throwing into the fire who's a rookie. You don't want to ruin him. You don't want to damage him this young, this early into his career. So could he be a guy who's similar in talent to Deshaun Watson? Maybe. Who knows? We got to see more from Trubisky before we make that judgment, though.
Jake.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Alex. I just think two games in, impossible to tell what you have in a quarterback. And, you know, if you're going to judge a quarterback after just a couple games, and what would we have said about, you know, what Jared Goff did last year? He looked awful. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, the coaching staff with a young quarterback as well. So it's so early, but that's what I think what makes what Watson's doing for the Texans so impressive. I mean, it just seems like every single game he's going out there putting up big numbers. And when you think about the fact that he wasn't their starting quarterback from day one, you wonder how the heck did he not just get that job right out of training camp? But I mean, both those guys, I think, have high ceilings. Trubisky, you know, he's only played two games. We'll find out what he has the rest of the year.
Maybe Tom Savage is another guy the Packers could look at. I think Deshaun Watson, it's safe to say, has locked up that starting role there. His Texans beat the Browns 33-17 today. Houston at 500 at 3-3. The Browns are 0-6. Let's do this here. I don't think they play this year off the top of my head. I don't believe they do. But neutral field, Cleveland, San Francisco, who wins? Jake, we'll start with you.
I'll take the Niners. I, as a Jeff fan, I just watched the Browns last week. They are the worst team I think I've seen in a long time. And I mean this seriously. When I watched this game, the Jets played as poorly as you could possibly play last week to the Browns, and they still won easily. Like, that's how bad the Cleveland Browns are as a football team. They are going to regret passing over Carson Wentz, passing over Deshaun Watson, passing over Dak Prescott. I mean, the quarterbacks that they have passed up on, I mean, good Lord, that management is run by guys that – the movie Moneyball was based off of. I have no idea what Cleveland's doing. And what bothered me the most as a Jet fan, guys, when everyone was just ripping on the Jets, saying they're tanking, their GM's incompetent, all this, all we heard was, oh, well, Hugh Jackson and the Browns, you know, they had a great
Hugh draft. Jackson, whoa.
They're doing it the right way. Hugh Jackson can't coach anything. I mean, their team is terrible.
All right, Levwitz, I'll change it up for you because we got a question on YouTube. Fact or fiction, the Browns make a midseason coaching change on the topic of Hugh Jackson.
You know what? I'm going to say fiction. You got to ride it out. I think they knew what they were getting into going into this season. I don't see much of a benefit in changing your coach mid-year for the Browns. They're going to suck regardless. They're going to be a top three pick in this upcoming draft. I'd wait till the end of the season to cut ties with him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Hugh Jackson's a perfectly good bridge coach, and in that, I mean, he won't win you many games. He's going to help your draft stock. So I think he makes it through the year. But, yeah, I like what the Browns are building. I like the draft they had last year defensively, but they are still a long way away, and I agree with Jake. The 49ers,
just their coaching is terrible, though. You watch them play. They make terrible decisions. I mean, last week in the Jets game, for example, they're down 3 points at the 3-yard line, and they go for it on 4th and goal instead of kicking a field goal to tie the game up at 10 apiece in a game that has no offense in it. They're trying to be aggressive in it and go for it. If you want to lose games, Hugh Jackson's your guy, because now the Browns are going to be in another situation with a top three pick where they're lucky it's a great quarterback draft where I don't even think they could screw it up if they wanted to this time.
Hey, Lamar Jackson's going to be on the board there at number one. So let's not talk too soon. That's my guy for the Jets, hopefully. I would love to see that train wreck, but I would take it on the Browns as well. On to the 4 o'clock games, and this may have been, Jake, you had a tweet about this being like the perfect day for Red Zone, and the 4 o'clock game specifically was one of the best 4 o'clock sessions in the NFL I can remember. We'll start out in the desert. Arizona picks up the win over Tampa, 38-33. Cardinals are now 3-3. Bucks are 2-3. They had that week one bye with the hurricane. Adrian Peterson, in his first week with the Cardinals, 26 carries, a buck 34, gets in the end zone twice. This is the oldest team in football between Palmer and Fitzgerald and Peterson, and they're still somehow getting it done. I love it. And on the other side, Tampa 2-3. I know they scored 27 fourth quarter points, but damn, this is supposed to be a great offense. This team was supposed to win that division handily, and they're struggling. Again, just this game more than any other left me scratching my head both ways. You got senior citizens playing like Pro Bowlers, and you got a team with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson that can't move the ball for three quarters.
Yeah, it was kind of a screwy turn of events. You also can't ignore that the fact that Jameis Winston was out early on in the game, so they lost him and had to rely on Ryan Fitzpatrick to kind of move that offense. And he actually didn't do that horribly. He did all right for a guy who was just thrown in there. But yeah, the story of the game here is Adrian Peterson coming out and having his first, you know, triple-digit yardage game in, what, 2 years. It's good to see he's alive and well. The league's a better place when he's good. And to have the combo of him, Carson Palmer, and Larry Fitzgerald all playing top-notch football made me feel like I was back in 2008. It was awesome.
It really was a bad 08 game. Jake, what'd you think of your boy Fitzmagic?
Oh, my goodness. I saw him come in. I'm like, this is the most predictable thing ever. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick's career. Everywhere this guy goes, the starting quarterback in front of him goes down with an injury, and he gets a chance to play. So now I'll tell you what's going to happen. The Bucs are going to rattle off a bunch of wins in a row. They'll probably just miss the playoffs, and they're going to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick and give him a mega deal. And I hope at that point the Jets go out there and trade for Jameis Winston, because we'll gladly take him.
I'll tell you what, when I was writing my column about who the Packers should inquire about, and I'm literally halfway through the paragraph on why Ryan Fitzpatrick's the perfect fit, and then Jameis Winston goes down, and all of a sudden he's off the table. But yeah, that guy's got some luck. This may have been the game of the day. The rematch of last year's, it was the divisional round, the Steelers and the Chiefs. Pittsburgh goes into Arrowhead Stadium, hands Kansas City the first loss of the year. Pittsburgh now 4-2, Kansas City 5-1. Are the outside of the Patriots, are these, and maybe even including the Patriots, are these the two best teams in the AFC, given what happened with the Raiders? And we'll touch on that in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's by default, really. The Raiders have been completely underwhelming and lost four straight games. I know we're going to touch on that a little bit, but yeah, these are the two teams. I think the Chiefs still have the advantage over the Steelers. I think Ben Roethlisberger is still looking really underwhelming, and it's looking more and more that this is going to be his last season in the NFL. But yeah, this is definitely the two teams to look out for. If you're a Pats fan, if you're any fan in the AFC that's not Pittsburgh or Kansas City. But yeah, that said, they're not amazing. They're still two very flawed teams. And although Kansas City went into that one undefeated, they're not as good as their record indicates, in my opinion. I think when it comes down to crunch time, their quarterback's still Alex Smith. And for the Steelers, their biggest weapon, usually Ben Roethlisberger, he's no longer the guy that he used to be. So, yes, by default, they are still not too concerned about them. I don't think they have that high ceilings.
Jake.
I agree, Alex. And I look at these two teams, and the Steelers, for whatever it is, they just have the Chiefs number. So I'm not shocked by the outcome. But when you consider the Steelers looked as horrible as you could possibly look a week ago against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, then it's somewhat shocking. But I think you look at this game, and the one thought I had watching, and you brought it up, was maybe this is Roethlisberger's final season. How wild would it be if Alex Smith is the Steelers' quarterback next year? Because the Steelers are going to be a middle-of-the-pack team. They're not going to be able to go out there and draft a quarterback in the top 10, let's say, and trading up cost a fortune, as we all know. Maybe Alex Smith, if he's available because the Chiefs want to give, you know, the reins over to Patrick Mahomes, maybe Alex Smith could make sense for the Steelers. That was just a random thought I had watching this game. But,
it's a good take.
You know, to answer your question, are these the two best teams in the AFC outside of the Patriots? I think by default they have to be, and I agree with Alex who said that.
No, between that Alex Smith take and the Romo take, you're on fire with the quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good one. Never thought about that.
All right. It wasn't out west because the Jaguars were at home. They fall to the Rams 27-17. Rams are now 4-2. Jags are 3-3. Jake, I've asked Lebowitz this pretty much every week on this show, so we'll ask you because we have a third voice in here. Are the Rams legit? Is this actually a Super Bowl contending team out in L.A.?
I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contending team, but I think they're a legitimate playoff threat. You know, this is a team that has a really good offense, obviously. It's good to see them bounce back after they just didn't play well last week at home against the Seattle Seahawks. But I mean, the Rams, they're an up-and-coming team. So I think if you're a Rams fan, and I don't know who's a Rams fan because all their fans are still in St. Louis, but besides the point, if you look at the Rams, they have a young quarterback, they have a stud running back, they have good offensive playmakers. They're a team going in the right direction, and you had no expectations coming in. The Rams, they're giving you a nice season if you're a fan of that team.
All right, now you want to talk about the LA team that doesn't have fans. That's the San Diego Chargers, but they probably picked up some supporters today. A 17-16 win over the Raiders, and a lot of who saw this coming this week. This may be my favorite. The Chargers and the Raiders are tied at 2-4 in the NFC West. Big trouble, I think, if you're the Raiders. You're supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. They've struggled out of the gate. And I know Will Brinson was one of many on NFL.com. We're the Chargers of Super Bowl contenders. He might as well pop his champagne today because this is just about as good as it's going to get for him.
Yeah, I don't think the Chargers are Super Bowl contenders. I think this more speaks to where Derek Carr is at health-wise. He's clearly not 100%. And this Raiders team has lost four consecutive games. It's time to panic out there. That's an extremely flawed team when it comes down to it. I was really high on them coming in simply because of who their quarterback was. I thought the Marshawn Lynch signing was great. Obviously, Khalil Mack is one of the best defensive players in the NFL. But this is a very flawed team, and if Derek Carr is not 100%, that's not a Super Bowl contender. In regard to the Chargers, they're all right. I'm not really worried about them. It seems like it's going to be the Chiefs coming out of that division. If not them, the Broncos. So, two teams that are at the cellar. I didn't expect the Raiders to be there, but the Chargers are kind of where I thought they'd be at this point.
All right, preview of tonight's game. It's the Giants heading out to the Rockies to take on the Broncos. Jake, we'll start with you. One simple question. I think this is the only thing you can talk about in this game. Is tonight the night the Giants get off the schneid?
Absolutely not. And if they do, I mean, they should pop champagne if they win the Super Bowl. I mean, this is Giants team. I don't know, you know, how much people outside of New York have paid attention, you know, being, you know, in New York, having to watch all their games.
We have loved this landslide. Everybody, rest of the country has loved this landslide, let us tell you.
They have just been brutal. And you can't make an excuse with the injuries. You know, at this point, their year is over, but they started 0-4 before they lost their best two wide receivers and Odell and Brandon Marshall. I mean, they are just an absolute train wreck. From top to bottom, I can't see any scenario where this game is close. So the thought of them actually winning this game, that to me would be the equivalent of like the Miracle on Ice in 1980. I mean, when you watch the Giants every week, their ineptitude is incredible. And the fact that they're going to go into this with zero skill players on the outside against the best defense in their own building coming off a bye, I mean, it has all the makings of just an absolute nightmare if you're a fan of the Giants.
Jake, real quick, before we get to Leibowitz, 13.5 point favorite at home, Denver, you buying?
I bet the house on Denver tonight, so I hope so.
All right. Love ones.
Yeah, it seems like Ben McAdoo is another coach who's on his way out. Eli Manning's another quarterback on his way out. It's just a dumpster fire in New York. It seems like that locker room just completely lost. It's kind of like the end of our childhood this season. You have, you know, Joe Flacco, who's starting to really suck. You have Ben Roethlisberger, who's starting to really suck. And you have Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, of course, who seem to be on their way out. Tom Brady's the only one left. Who would have thought? And it just seems like this Giants team is the most surprising in the NFL by far. 0-6 to start the year, and it seems like it's going to continue to slide for him. So, yeah. It's shocking. I thought Eli Manning was better than this, and I thought that overall was just a lot better than what they've shown this season. They're going to lose tonight to the Broncos is my answer, by the way.
You really thought Eli Manning was better than this? Have you not watched football for the last 13 years?
Not better, you know, than what?
Not this early in the season, he's not.
I figured that with the weapons that they got this season, with the weapons that he has, it's hard not to be good. It's hard not to perform. And maybe I thought too highly of him. He's a guy who has been pretty underwhelming in the regular season, who has relied on his, you know, clutchness over his career. But yeah, I guess I was too high on him to start. But it seems like I'm willing to accept the fact that Eli Manning is in fact on his way out.
Well, you mentioned all those quarterbacks kind of retiring. My dad told me today to grow up. I told him I will when Tom Brady retires, and I stand by that. That is the day my childhood ends, and hopefully it's not for a long time. One more game to touch on here. Monday night, Colts visit the Titans. Leibowitz, I think we had the same take. The take I had last week for Monday Night Football is going to be the same take here.
I'm not. I'll tune in. I'll watch a little bit of it, but I'm not super interested.
Jake, guys, the Yankees are on. What are we doing? We're not going to be watching.
I honestly might watch the baseball game over that as well. All right. I want to thank Jake Asman for joining us here on the CallNet NFL Roundup. Lebowitz for forsaking his computer, going on his phone. If nobody doing this watching live, if you go back and find the record on YouTube, if you're listening to the replay, there are like a million great screen freezes where his phone glitched of him just in the absolute worst face. So if somebody wants to go screen cap those,
oh Jesus,
we will put them all over our Twitter. So yeah, and that Twitter, of course, is at Callin' the Podcast. You can follow us there. Follow us on SoundCloud as well. Subscribe on iTunes. Me and Lebowitz will be back tomorrow. We got a lot to touch on the show tomorrow. We'll be talking Celtics. We'll be talking Red Sox offseason. Maybe a little U.S. soccer. Of course, we'll break down the Patriots game. And Jake, you got a show tomorrow too, am I right?
8 a.m. SportsOnTheGo1.com. Looking forward to it.
All right, so check that out. For Jake Asman, Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, this will be a morning show, probably, again, at Callin' the Podcast on Twitter. We'll let you know there. Lebowitz and I will talk to you tomorrow. Listen to Jake tomorrow morning. Bye, everybody.